my calculations are correct, when this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
It's showtime.
Right, welcome everybody to another episode of the VHS Strikes Back. I am one of your hosts, Chris Phelps, and my co-host and very good friend is Mr. Dave Horrocks.
Hey there, Chris, and hello to our listeners out there. Welcome to the VHS Strikes Back, the show where we dust off the old video player and go on a nostalgic journey to look at the good and the bad movies of yesteryear. Now, Chris, we have a Patreon special pick this week, don't we? So what are we going to do?
Well, Dave, we're going back to 1991. It's a movie starring Frank Wally and Jennifer Connelly, and it's called Career Opportunities. Now, have you ever seen this before, Dave?
I have seen this. I can't say that it's one of those that I watched over and over. I was 15 when this came out, and it caught my eye, definitely. Now, I have to say, one film that I did watch over and over again is Labyrinth. Have you ever seen that, Chris?
Once, Dave, once. And I say once for a reason, but once, yes. I remember the VHS cover very well.
So I can't imagine it's anywhere near your wheelhouse, which kind of makes me want to have it as my next pick. But I used to love it. I'd all like the Muppets kind of thing, but I was absolutely taken with a young Jennifer Connelly. And when she shows up in this movie, it's like, holy moly, you know, and now I'm 15 at the time. It's like, wow, you know, just at that right time when I just thought, I've never seen anyone better looking on the screen than her. But the fact that I haven't watched it multiple times probably tells you what I thought of the movie. It was a one and done for me. I'd watched it. I've seen many, many times the different clips, which I'm sure we'll talk about as we get through our review. But I can't say this is one that I immediately think of when I think back to that, you know, kind of late 80s, early 90s era. What about yourself, Chris?
I've never seen this, Dave, at all, ever. I have seen the VHS cover loads of times when he used to go to the video shop, because it just reminded me of one of them proper feel-good, do you know what I mean? Like a, I don't know, it, like a coming-of-age movie. And I love Ferris Bueller, so I think I stayed away from it because the cover reminded me a lot of Ferris Bueller.
Well, it's another John Hughes one, isn't it? So yeah. He didn't direct it, so a chap called Brian Gordon directed it. But I must admit, it's funny you say about Ferris Bueller, and I hadn't even thought of the likeness with the cover, but you're absolutely right. It's only on this rewatch where I've thought, this is actually Ferris Bueller. You know, he's not the popular kid at school, but you know, I think the main character, so Jim Dodge, played by Frank Whaley, I just think he could have been played by Matthew Broderick, and it would have been essentially, you know, Ferris Bueller in a parallel universe.
No, I agree, and like, you know, I've never seen this before. This is the first time I've seen it, and unfortunately, watching it early 40s, Dave, you know, it's like when we've done on comics, like Weird Science, things like that. It isn't my sort of fucking film. However, there is two saving graces in this movie, definitely. Well, three actually, Dave, but two of them are on the same person. And the main one is we get a cameo from John Candy, which I absolutely love. So, other than that, that was about it.
Yeah. Well, I did mention that this is our Patreon pick. So this is Brent from the Cinema Chat podcast, and he chose this one. He thought it'd be a bit of fun for us to go through and review. So, Chris, should we get into our trailer?
Let's go.
I'd hire you in a minute if I hadn't fired you so many times.
The hilarious new comedy from John Hughes, creator of Home Alone. Career Opportunities on video cassette.
Papa.
Irresistibly funny, raves the Sacramento Bee. Career Opportunities is a great American comedy. Fresh from national exposure in over 1,400 theaters, MCA Universal Home Video is backing Career Opportunities with exciting POP.
15 when I invented the artificial dog heart. How you doing?
John Hughes, the creator of The Breakfast Club, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and Uncle Buck.
Did I ever tell you about the time that I signed a professional ball contract?
Would like to introduce you to Jim Dodge.
You got fired again, didn't you?
I'm not like everybody else.
He's got brain damage.
It does not.
He spent 21 years improving on reality.
Going to Paris on an F-14.
Jim is going to find himself.
Are you a slacker?
No, I'm Presbyterian.
I can offer you $4.44 per hour. $4.44.
What about the benefits?
There's no eating. You're not being paid to eat, so don't. Don't play any music.
I don't have any time to play any music.
Don't touch me!
Welcome to the target team.
You're locking me in!
Boo.
Then, one wild night, Jim Dodge finally found the real thing. In aisle 5.
What are you doing here?
I work here. Do you know how you make me feel?
Like a natural woman?
I'm a janitor in training. You're an heiress.
You know what your problem is?
No, but let me go get my list.
What are you planning to steal? Hairspray?
Well, we haven't decided yet, have we?
From John Hughes. Career Opportunities. The story of a man and a woman, aisles apart.
If I was sweating, would you touch me?
I would probably touch you even if you were covered with spiders.
And one night that changed everything.
It's not as uncomfortable as I thought it'd be.
Oh, no. No, no, it's not bad.
Career Opportunities on video cassette.
Now, Jim Dodge is a self-proclaimed people person and a dreamer who's perceived as lazy and a good-for-nothing. After being fired from numerous low-paying jobs, Jim is given the choice by his father to either land a job at a local Target or be put on a bus to St. Louis. Now, Chris, what do you reckon to the opening of this one?
You know what? I like Brent a lot, Dave. A hell of a lot. He's a great guy. The only saving grace about this movie is it runs at an hour and 20. Well, it's an hour and 23, but realistically, I actually timed it, Dave, which says a lot. It was about an hour and 17 either side of the trailer and the trailer, that, you know, the credits and that. So that was good. You're right. I think as when this goes into the 90s, obviously, John Hughes had loads of things. And, you know, I love Ferris Bueller, but when we went back on it, I didn't enjoy it like I used to. We both said that. Ferris Bueller's a bell end, you know, and that's so bad to say. Like I said, I've got the collector's edition right next to me. I love that film, the music, everything. And it was just shit. This, for me, is a movie that's a few years too old. And I think the problem is with Jim is because we've seen it before, it felt like... And you know what, Dave, I'll be honest. Until you said it was a John Hughes movie, I didn't realise, because my whole argument was going to be it's a fucking knockoff Ferris Bueller. You know, coming of age movies, and about that, you bamboozled me by saying it's John. You maybe should have researched it, Chris. But yeah, it felt like the beats of everything we'd seen before. You know, his dad's an absolute dick. His dad's screaming at him and everything. His dad's not cattle. Looks nothing like Jim, or Jim looks nothing like his dad. It's completely miscast, and the whole dynamic of him getting a job, like. I don't know. I think as well, but I was glad of the running time, but there was a lot of things that could have been fleshed out a bit more for me to be invested in Jim's character, I think.
Yeah, I must admit, I thought Jim was a complete prick.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, well, you know, two middle-aged blokes, when we went back to Ferris Bueller, and we pissed off a lot of people, I think, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Saying, you know, he is a bit of a tool, you know, and I actually think a lot of the people who gave a stick for that probably haven't seen it since, you know, at least the 90s. But it just doesn't age well at all, how he uses everyone around him and, you know, he's only in it for himself. And I think Jim, he's just out of the same template. And he's just ridiculously lazy. And I guess that's just us being at that parent age rather than when we were kids and watching it, you know, and being at that younger age where you're like, oh yeah, he's having a great time, isn't he? He's trashing the store and doing what he wants, and he gets the girl, kind of. And so, yeah, I can't help but feel like When John Hughes actually directs his own movies, there's a lot of extra heart that's in there, you know, that goes beyond the page, beyond the script. And I just feel like it's probably missing a little bit out of this one. There is something missing, even though all of the hallmarks are there for a John Hughes movie. It just doesn't have that heart that I think other John Hughes movies have. Now, this was a year after Home Alone. So Home Alone came out 1990, didn't it? So
yeah,
it's not as if he's kind of just phoning it in. You know, but it does kind of smell a little bit like phoning it in, doesn't it? You know, the fact that you've got all these same kind of ticks, these same beats throughout the movie. But when it starts off, Chris, and you've got clearly you get a window into Jim's character. You know, he's telling these dogs a story, and the guy comes in and starts giving him loads of shit, and I'm completely puzzled about why. All he was doing, he's telling the dogs a bit of a story, and he gets fired for that. I thought he was just being nice to the dogs. Of course they don't fucking understand him. And yes, he's lying. He's not misleading the dogs, is he? He's not trying to get them to sign up to a pyramid scheme or anything. It's just, I found that really odd straight off the bat. You're obviously... The movie's trying to convey the fact that he's a bit of a chancer, a bit of a bullshitter. But yeah, that opening one with the dogs just really, really puzzled me.
Yeah, because I must admit, Dave, I was blimping my phone and I had to rewind it because I actually thought he'd got into the shop, like broke in or something. And then when he's chasing, he's like, "Oh, you," I was like, "Oh, right, okay." I like you. I think the problem is because Jim, and you're right, you know, David, just going back to Ferris Bueller, right? As a kid, all I wanted to see was Cameron's dad's Ferrari fly out of that fucking house on stilts and say to his dad, "Fuck you, you wanker. You know, you care about your car more than your son." Chris, at 42, Dave, if my Pontiac Trans Am was on the drive and some little shit decides to fucking go joyriding around Manchester or does something to damage it, Dave, oh, we are going to have a problem, my friend. My fucking sleeves are getting rolled up and we're going to duke it out on the drive. Because
you'd be doing
you
a fucking 10 stretch for battery.
I am telling you, Dave. But as a kid, I always used to go, "Cameron's dad's a bastard." But when you look, it's like, that is one of the most expensive Ferraris ever. I mean, it was a replica that they used because they're so rare. They're worth millions, them Ferraris. I know it's in context of the film and this isn't the same film, but yeah, talking about like Jim and stuff. And I think that's right. He's like, what it is with Jim, for me, I don't find that I've got anything for him. There's no... Plus, yeah, he's supposed to be a bit of a bullshit, which he's not explained very well at all. You're right. And they're calling the... Like in the film, they're calling him like... She calls him Jennifer Connelly's character, Josie, the town liar. But yeah, there's no context to it at all. And I tell you what...
No context to it. I think you were asleep. He's bullshitting all the way through the movie.
No, but I mean, it's not... No, hang on, I'm going to... Maybe I'm... No, what I mean is that, yeah, there's a few bits, like he gets a lift in a hearse, like to his first day at the job at Target and all that stuff. But it's not like we've had 20 minutes of him doing disastrous bullshits. They're just little tall stories, aren't they? I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but when we meet her dad... And, you know, her dad's out of something we reviewed quite recent, Dave, as well, in the last 3 or 4 months.
I recognise him from Ace Ventura, but what's he been in the last few months?
Dave, he's Shelley Marcone out of The Last Boy Scout. He's the guy who runs the American
Yeah.
So straight away, and that was weird. Like, we get introduced to Josie. She comes in, and honestly, I must admit, if I'd watched this in 1991, 92... Jennifer Connelly, Dave. She's married to Paul Bettany. I didn't realise.
Yeah.
Married to Vision.
He's done all right there. He's punching above his weight a bit, isn't he?
Fucking Jim was punching above his weight, Dave, let's be honest. But when she comes in and kisses them two guys who were having, well, one of them and the other one's gutted, and it's like, how old is... I was thinking, how old is she supposed to be in this movie? But she's not. She's an adult, isn't she? She's like a young adult. But I thought she was still at school.
She's born in 1970, December 1970, so right at the end. So in this movie, she's 20, 21-ish.
Yeah.
And those guys, what, mid-40s? At least. And I must admit, I'm very conflicted about this movie, Chris, because Jennifer Connelly is absolutely stunning, right? But I can't help but watch this movie and feel like it is a bit exploitative.
Yeah.
And the fact that scene, she's obviously, she's trying to wind up her dad, you know, which is why she does it. But it's just really, really fucking weird, isn't it? I mean, if that's real life, you're kind of like, surely the guy pulls back a bit. You know, he's fucking in this business context, in someone's home, and someone half your age just comes up to you and wants to give you a kiss, you would flinch a bit, wouldn't you?
Fucking hell, Dave, you're damn right you would. Especially, I mean, we're laughing because we're probably the same age as them two guys now. But exactly. You would, if you imagine that, you're in a meeting, and I know it's supposed to be the film. At first, I thought it was a setup. I thought her dad knew that she does this all the time, and that's when I was like, how old is she supposed to be? Because we'd seen Jim.
A bit of a hustle.
Yeah. Is it a bit of a, like, he sets them up so that they fall for his daughter and they sign the contract and then they go and it's all like high fives? But it's not, you're right. It's not explained very well. She just does not like her dad, and she's literally rebelling and going, I'm just going to ruin everything for you. You know, my daughter's easy sort of thing. But it doesn't come across well. I totally agree. It comes across really fucking creepy, to be honest. It's like Operation U-Tree all over again. I'm like, this is, and I know she's supposed to be about 19 or something like that, but it's just not fucking right. And it doesn't portray itself well on the screen, that you laugh about it and go, oh, that's really funny. It's just pretty weird.
Yeah. And like, yeah, I think she is a bit younger, isn't she? She's 17, 18 in the movie, but like I say, 20-ish in real life. And so, I don't know, just feels wrong to me. It feels off, that whole scene. But I tell you what, Chris, the highlight of the movie... In fact, before I get onto the highlight of the movie, I'll just say about Jim, because I think the way he's written, you know, the way John Hughes has crafted this character is very Ferris Bueller. And being a couple of grumpy middle-aged blokes, yeah, we thought he was a dick, but you can't deny that Matthew Broderick was just a very charming actor, wasn't he? You know,
yeah.
I say wasn't he, like he's dead or something. He's not, but you know, in that at that time, he was in loads of stuff. He was in War Games as well, wasn't he? Just a very, very charismatic, charming actor. And I'm afraid I just think Frank Whaley just falls short. And I think part of the reason why you're not brought into this story and you're not empathising with him, it is because of his performance, which sounds a little bit harsh, but because you've got this such a similar comparison with Ferris Bueller, I think it becomes really obvious. If it was a completely different story, you might not even notice. But I just found him really flat in the role.
I'm with you on that. I think And it is in his performance and the writing and that. And I think they were going for, this is his breakout role. Like Matthew Broderick, he's been in War Games and that. As much as whatever we think of Ferris Bueller now, he is so good in that movie. He is Ferris Bueller. If someone says Ferris Bueller, everyone goes Matthew Broderick. No, you know, because obviously there's only one person ever played him. It was a one-off film. Everyone knows. Or if someone said, you remember Matthew Broderick? They go, oh yeah, Ferris Bueller. They're not going to say, oh, Matthew Broderick out of Godzilla, are they? Or whatever they're going to say. Fucking Ferris Bueller, which was on the other week, and he's atrocious, by the way. But with Frank Whaley, I've never even heard of him since, which says a lot for him and this movie. I think they were trying to bring Ferris Bueller-like character into the 90s, and it just doesn't hit. And I think you're right. And I think because it's so quick, this movie, and I, like say, when it's a shit movie, I love it when it's like an hour and a half. I'm like, thank God for that. But with this, it does feel like we needed more context on Jim's character just to buy into him a little bit to understand what he's about. Because basically, he's a fucking lazy little shit whose dad, as much as he's a bit aggressive, he's actually right. He's like, get out and earn some fucking money. We need it. And he's... Because what's very strange is he's very camp in this movie and very... he just doesn't fit, and he's dressed like he's from the 50s or something, Dave. You know, like you could almost see him doing a screen test for Back to the Future or something, you know, in the 50s. Like, I don't know, yeah, he just did something off.
With his little hair curl thing.
Yeah, there's just something off of him, but I agree, and I'm not trying to steal your thunder, but I think you're going to say what the best part of the movie is, Dave, so I'll tee you up for that, because I think there's only one bit of this movie that's any good.
Well, when he goes for his job in Target, who's the manager there?
Exactly. The man, Mr. John Candy.
And you know what? I just can't... Every time I see John Candy, and God rest his soul, but when he comes onto a movie, and I'd honestly completely forgotten that he was in this movie, so when it came on, I thought, oh, yeah, well, it is a John Hughes movie, so, you know, he does show up in a lot of them. I just can't help but smile. You know, and it's only a little kind of cameo, really, isn't it? But I just thought it was a good little scene, this. And he's obviously got confused. He's obviously expecting a store manager or something to come in. And I thought Joe does all right with the negotiations there, you know, when he... Jim. he does all right with the negotiations, you know. He's like, oh, I was thinking 45. It sounds like a fucking great package that he was rolling off there. But then obviously Candy takes the call, doesn't he? And it's all a bit of a mistake. And then he begrudgingly offers him this nighttime janitor type role.
Yeah, because he says 45, and he's like, oh, 45. And I'm thinking, what? And I should really, really Jim's character. It's called him Joe then, Dave. But I should really like his character, because he's a bit of a ducker and diver, a bit of a who blinks first, you know, get
a sort spirit of animal of yours.
Yeah, he's me. He's just a blacker. He's someone who can worm his way into anything, you know. So that idea of his character, he's brilliant. There's so, you know, I genuinely can buy into that. But when... What the actual execution is not good, and it is good, but again, he gets the job. And the first night, you've got that guy who plays a baddie in loads of films. He's always a baddie in like a Stallone film or something. He's like the telling him what to do with like the goatee and the slick back hair. He's always some bad guy, isn't he? And he's like giving him a load of shit, saying to him, he's the custodian, isn't he? William Forsythe is, Dave. He's been in all sorts of films. He's always a baddie. And he's giving a right load of shit, and he's like, right, you need to... And they just lock him in. But Jim's never worked anywhere, never done anything. But yet, he destroys the whole store. And we have this, like, stupid thing, don't they? She's trying to steal underwear, so she sort of ended up in the store. They've locked it up. I mean, Target's still going now. It's a massive, massive chain. But yeah, that whole thing, it just feels like, we've seen all this before, and we've seen it funnier. And this bit is almost a play at Home Alone, when, you know, Kevin gets the house to himself and just completely destroys it, and he eats all the ice cream. That is, yeah. I know it's set in a store, but literally, could they have not written something a little less original than what we'd seen the year before? Because they've nicked stuff from Ferris Bueller and Home Alone, and it doesn't work, any of it.
Yeah. I must admit, though, when the guy... You know, he's showing him around and stuff, and he's just another arsehole, isn't he? But he says, are you a slacker?
Yeah.
Thought, fucking hell. He must be related to Strickland out of Back to the Future. Well, yeah, he takes his job very seriously, doesn't he? But, I couldn't help but wonder, is this legal? Can you just do that? Can you just lock someone in a store? What if there's a fucking fire? Probably not legal even in the early 90s, I wouldn't have thought. But yeah, you just sort of think, and again, I think it's the old fucking middle-aged man in me speaking, but all I'm thinking when he's trashing the whole place is, well, you're either going to get fired tomorrow, or you're going to be cleaning that up for fucking ages. So, yeah, I couldn't get any enjoyment, honestly. And maybe if I'd watched this... Because I can't remember anything other than Jennifer Connelly being in this, to be honest. But I don't remember kind of watching it and thinking, oh, that'd be great. When Kevin does it in Home Alone, and he's 8 years old, you kind of think, and he's in his own home, you kind of think, yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. He gets to do all the things that, you know, he's been told that he couldn't do. He can eat and drink whatever he wants. You can kind of get behind that and think, oh, yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. Whereas when Jim's doing it here, I just think, just downright irresponsible, Chris.
But I think that's because you don't have an investment in him. And when we get... what's weird about this is, so Jim's dad's given him a right load of stick and he's given him a load of aggro. And then his dad wakes up in the middle of the night and just starts absolutely destroying the fridge. He's eating meat like he's never ate before. He's eating food and just having some sort of pangs of guilt because he's all of a sudden got this conscience about Jim, which is completely out of context from the sort of concrete truck driver that we saw earlier drop him off at Target. And it just doesn't go. That's like a thing going on in the background with his dad. And I'm like, how have we got to this point? But when he meets Jennifer Connelly, Dave, look, we talked about Adrienne Barbeau, didn't we, when we did Swamp Thing on Comics in Motion, Dave.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and she was renowned for a couple of fine points. But there's a couple of fine points. It's not by accident she's got a white vest top on like that, Dave.
Well, she wears it better than Wolverine, I do have to say. I mean, yeah. And this is where, look, as a heterosexual bloke, I just can't help but be impressed. You know, absolutely stunning. But like I say, there is a part of me as well that thinks, yeah, that's pretty much... She's in that role. She's right there to be ogled at. It's not as if... For the story, she does have to be a stunning, beautiful girl that Jim's kind of obsessed with. But yeah, I think the tank top is for all the fucking seedy old blokes.
Yeah, like us. But yeah, anyway. Yeah, no,
well, not even seedy old blokes. Just leering fucking... Actually, that's not any better, is it? I mean, I'll read out some of the IMDb reviews a little bit later, but I mean, the top one here, so there's 103 user reviews. I reckon about 50% of them are like, yeah, it's an okay movie, but Jennifer Connelly, whoa. But the first one up here on my list is Jennifer Connelly in a tank top is a sight to see. It's like, oh, come on. I think that is the iconic thing about this movie, to be honest.
Yeah, it's
or
weird.
Things,
yeah, the things. And I've read a few things as well, Dave, and it all points to the same couple of points. But I think what's weird is, again, you've got two bad guys who we don't even see engage with Jim or Josie's character. And our time this, Dave, it was an hour into the film, so we've got 20 minutes left for them to... So we've got this back thing where these two guys who, funny enough, Dave, wet bandits fucking but some deep south version. Well,
what was I saying about, you know, John Hughes probably isn't phoning this in? I might have to retract that.
I think you should. They steal a car at a beauty spot. This couple, because it goes a bit sinister, this couple are having a bit of how's your father, and then he grabs the woman, and I'm thinking, oh my God, we're not going to see a fucking on-screen rape or something, Dave, because it's a bit sinister.
It went that way, didn't it? Tonally. Yeah. It did sort of go that way. It was really jarring because the rest of the movie is just a bit silly. It's quite light. And then that, I wondered the same. I wondered where that was going to go.
Yeah, I honestly did. And then they cast them both aside and they steal the car. So you're like, oh, thank God for that. That was not even encompassing with the film. Not that you need to see that anyway. And they're on this sort of like coming into the town, and you've got like the sheriff's there with Josie's dad, and then there's a point where Josie's dad's with Jim's dad, and they're in like this diner, both knackered because they've not slept. But the baddies turn up. There's no context how they get into Target. So Jim and Josie have had this whole backwards and forwards. How she ignored him for all these years. She said, you were the school liar. They have dinner together. They're doing skating, aren't they? And all this. And they're very good skaters, by the way. And they're skating round and round. This is where, like, obviously, her jacket comes off. You've got the top on. But when they actually appear and they get taken out by Jim and Josie, it's nonsense, because the next minute, Josie's riding a kid's horse thing. like that. And they're all three of them are doing social distancing in 1991. They're all on desks, tables behind each other, 2 meters apart, just sat there eating. And I'm like, what is going on here? It's a fucking mess of a film. It really is. And I'm sorry, Brent, because I know he's probably going to get us with this. But it is.
What about where when they turn up and they're holding the guns out? And obviously, you know, Jim and Josie, they're going around the store in their roller skates. They're holding hands. They've had this sweet little moment where Jim said that, you know, I think Josie's almost alluding to, you know, what favors can I do you? You know, and she's thinking she's probably for most of her adult life, you know, been, you know, treated as a sexual object. So she, for me, the implication there is she's thinking that Jim's going to say something sexual and he just wants to finish this dance because apparently they'd had like 3/4 of a dance in whichever grade it was, 8th grade or something. And, you know, so you know, he kind of gets the girl and, you know, fair play to him. But when they're on their roller skates and they're going towards these guys with guns, that scene seems to go on for ages. It's like, you know, Deadpool, where he's gonna, where he's on the ice rink, and he, you know, the guy's crawling away, and he's very slowly catching up to him. Do you know which bit I mean?
Yeah.
It was like that. It was like they were miles away, and then just didn't react at all, so that you get this slapstick moment where they kind of headbutt the guns kind of thing and then go underneath and I guess make a brief escape. But it just, I think the editing just felt weird there, because it's like it looked like they were about 50 yards away when they could see these guys, and then it just gradually got closer and closer.
Yeah,
but I think, oh sorry, go on.
No, sorry Dave, sorry. No, I think you're right. That doesn't, contextually, it doesn't go, and there's no continuities to that as well. And the fact that these guys have got guns and they're not bothered they've got a gun in the face until later, when they've sort of tried to escape, then they're bothered they've got guns in the face. I'd be cheating myself if someone pulled a gun on me.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, again, I'll go back to the Jennifer Connelly on a horse. I mean, You can see the guys looking, you know, leering at her, both on screen and at home. You know, again, come on, that's just for the viewer, isn't it? That's just for the blokes like us. You know, well, that's all it's for.
It is, because you can't take the moral high ground on this, because I was like, what is going on now? You know, I'd have probably freeze frame that many years ago, Dave, but genuinely,
it's like this is wrong, but I can't stop watching it.
Yeah, it's wrong. I'm going to rewind it, watch it again, just for artistic purposes. But no, you're right, it's not encompassing with the film. And she's already said to Jim, which is nonsense, she's got $52,000 in her purse. So I kept thinking, are they going to rob a purse? And there's no mention of the purse at all. They're just robbing household goods, because luckily there's no dialogue to say she's got this money in a purse or anything. And they're loading up the vehicle, and she's like, she sort of says to him, right, let's kid it on. She's now got a coat back on, funny enough. And she's acting as if she's going to go off with these guys and give them a good time. But she drives away in the car, doesn't she? It's very hard to explain until you watch it, but it's so random, this film. It really is.
Yeah. I think even when, you know, when they're looking for Jim and Josie and, you know, they're hidden in the changing rooms, and, you know, Jennifer Connelly's on top of him there, and then they find him, and then they've got them kind of laid out on the floor, haven't they? And you've got one of the guys there, he's kind of stroking her with his foot almost. Yeah. You know, again, it's just it's too seedy, that bit. You know, it's really quite bad. But I mean, I think she's ultimately, she's just kind of using her sexuality there to put them into a compromising position, isn't she? You know, Jim thinks that she is just going to bugger off, but he's not really in with the plan, and so, you know, it is part of a trick all along.
Yeah, and then we do get Jim with the old John Rambo bit, because he goes and get the custodian, and who's given him a load of aggro at the start, the baddie. He's got a shotgun, Dave. So Jim now can fire and load a shotgun like he's fucking, you know, John Matrix or Rambo or something. And we get this little AT montage of him putting the two bullet shells in the gun. You know, the plan is she gets away, they come back in, they're there, and he pulls the shotgun, and they get, and the next minute they're all trussed up in that. But I feel really bad about Brent. Sorry, Brent, because you know we don't pull any bunches, because if it's one of your favourite films, but it's just a load of shit, Dave. It really is a bad movie. It's a mishmash of John Hughes' best movies, but told in such a shit way, it's unbelievable. Because even when they trust them up, the sheriff comes and that, Jim then pulls up in the hearse, the limo hearse thing, with her at the end. These three kids think Jim's like absolutely the guy they aspire to be. He's dressed like he's from the 50s then, properly. He's got the full, like you said, a curly Superman flick, and he's got the outfit on, looks like, his outfit looks very similar to what Michael J. Fox wears when he goes back to 1955. Yeah, yeah. It very similar to that outfit, really is. Enchantment Under the Sea dance and all that. He just looks like that, the way they've set. But it's like, why? But they're not going to get very far, Dave, because the next minute they're in Hollywood and they're by a pool. And like £52,000, even in 91, is not going to get you very far.
Well, you know, this is them starting their life, isn't it? You know, after sharing a few hours in Target, locked in.
Yeah, obviously, yeah. It changes your life, Dave, doesn't it? You know, for a year. You always love about these movies is, have you ever known anybody having these life-changing experiences and then within 12 to 14 hours of being together, they just decide to do a bunk somewhere? Ever? Come on. Never, ever has that happened.
Yeah, I'm sure I've said to you before, but I think these movies that we go back and review did a poor job in teaching me how to be an adult. You know, because they just misrepresent everything. It's like, what the fuck? You know, I think, again, I'll say about John Hughes, when he directs his own movies, so like Ferris Bueller, say, I think you've just got some extra magic that's in there. And I think the way this is directed, the way it's shot, I just, and again, I'm sorry to old Frank Whaley there, but the way it's acted, I just don't think it pulls it off. And so I think this has had the potential to be, you know, one of those classic John Hughes movies, but yeah, not for me. I think it just falls short. And I can't even really put my finger on what is that magic ingredient. Why is it, you know, what is missing, other than, you know, the main lead, as I've said before, I don't think he buys you in. I don't think he helps you empathize with him. You know, the dad that you mentioned before, you know, is just completely bipolar, isn't he? He's either a raging angry arsehole, or he's sad about the fact that he's got remorse that he's been such an arsehole, and, you know, comforts himself in processed meat straight from the fridge. So yeah, just
very good.
So yeah, I just think something missing for me, but yeah, it kind of goes off on a happy ending, it doesn't it? You know, it's, how many movies, Chris, has it finished and you're just like, but what happens then?
Yeah.
And you know, again, it's not just us, is it, that this influences? How many people watch this or this type of movie and they go, oh, wow, we made it to Hollywood, and then, you know, good things happen. Well, I'm afraid it doesn't, but yeah, we'll just make believe.
That's perfect. Should we get into our review?
Let's go. Now, Chris, I'll go first.
Okay.
I think I so wanted to like this movie. I remembered watching it. Actually, even before I'd watched it, I'd seen the trailer. There was no way I was not going to watch that. But when I was thinking back to it, after Brent mentioned it, I thought, I don't really remember, other than those iconic scenes that we've talked about, I don't really remember anything about the story as such. So, and I couldn't figure out why that was. Having gone back and watched it, it reminds me that it's just a bit of a weak story. And even though it borrows from other great stories that we love, you know, the likes of Home Alone, the likes of Ferris Bueller, and I know we took a bit of a pot shot at it, but at the time we loved it. But there's just something missing, and I think this is John Hughes phoning it in. I think at the start of when we started speaking about this, I think I was thinking, no, it's just badly directed. But yeah, I think when I think about how many things he's just nicked from his previous scripts, it's not very original, even for John Hughes. So yeah, I'm afraid for me, I think it falls in that kind of, I want to say Hell's Kitchen, this is not comics, is it? It falls in that Elm Street kind of region, and it is honestly, it's more because of Jennifer Connelly's performance that I can't possibly send it any lower than that. You know, I need to be able to go back and retrieve it. So if I send it off to Alderaan then, and it's smashed to smithereens, I won't be able to watch that again. So yeah, Elm Street for me, Chris.
You bastard, Dave, because I really, really, I want to knock it up a few points for the obvious reasons. John Candy and Jennifer Connelly, and I can't. It's garbage. It's fucking rubbish. She's stunning, and you know I have a penchant, Dave, for the brown-haired lady, and genuinely right up my street. So good looking. I would have had an absolute crush on if I'd seen this first time round, without a doubt. And I probably would have watched it more than I should have done. But it's just rubbish. Like you say, it's a mishmash of his movies. Nothing is original about it, even down to like the Wet Bandit ripoff that we get a year later. I know he doesn't direct this, but he produced and wrote it, and it's fucking rubbish. It really, really is rubbish. If you don't want to watch it, please don't. But if you want to follow along with us, then
if you don't want to watch it,
please don't.
Did you just say if you don't want to watch it, please don't? Do you mean if you do want to watch it?
Yeah, please don't. That as well, Dave. That's how much he's got me. But if you want to follow me and Dave, then it is worth a punt. And it is available on Daily Motion, Dave, the full movie. So you can get on there if you're that desperate to watch it. So I'm sending it to Alderaan. I can't forgive it, Dave. John Candy permitting, and the famous white Primarni vest. We talked the other week about American Ninja, and I know John Hammond thought it was hilarious when I said that the guy's got the white Primarni £2 t-shirt on. Jennifer Connelly pulls the white £2 t-shirt off very well, Dave. That's about the only good thing about this.
It's not the only thing that was pulled off.
No comment, Dave. No comment.
Again, I think Hugh Jackman pulls it off quite well.
Yeah.
But
I wasn't talking about pulling that off, Dave. Anyway. Fucking hell, we'll be getting done now for this, but no, thanks Brent, I really appreciate it. If you do want to support us, guys, and you want us to review a movie that's special to you, or something you want us to go through, get over to patreon.com/VHS Strikes Back. Big thanks to Brent, as always, one of our executive producers today. Also, Dave,
he's a producer today, isn't he?
He's a producer.
When he actually selects the movie.
He is. I'm demoting him to an executive producer after this movie, Dave. But and also our other executive producers are Lucky Lulu Green, Dan Herbert, Jax, Maff, Blake, John Hammond, and the wonderful Mr. Tony Farina. So thank you guys for supporting us. And Brent, we do love you, my friend, but disgraceful choice. It's almost as bad as my Lauren Avedon loving, but I loved going through it, Dave. I loved us talking about it. That's the thing, when I'm watching it, I'm like, oh, I can't wait to get on the podcast to talk about this. But yeah, so I do love it when we don't get one that we like. It's good fun.
I've got a sneaky suspicion that, that Brent may have known that we wouldn't love this one, but I don't know. Let's see. We seem to be on a roll, Chris, of like pissing off our Patreons, don't we? So like we shit on Jax's favourite virtuosity the other week, didn't we?
That deserves shitting on Dave. So, fucking rubbish. Right. Anyway, Dave, what have we got for next week?
Well, Chris, the day has come. I didn't want this one to come, but you've made me watch some terrible martial arts movies. But when we watched No Retreat, No Surrender 2, I happened to mention that China O'Brien and Cynthia Rothrock were absolutely not one of my favourites. And that little nugget of information there has been stored in your brain ever since. And so you've chosen the iconic, the classic China O'Brien.
Can you do one of the karate move noises, Dave? Just so we get the trailer. Perfect. And that's going to fucking drive you mad. So here's the trailer.
There are some places in this world.
I can't see you back there.
Where a pretty girl should never walk alone.
But I can feel you.
Unless her name is China O'Brien.
She's one of them chop suey fighters.
Once, she was a big city cop.
Reconsider.
Now, she's on her own, heading for the most dangerous place of all, the place she once called home.
China!
Some changes around town since you've gone, China.
I'll never touch a gun again.
Will she learn to love? Will she learn to fight? Will she watch them kill her father? No. She means to clean up his town in her own way, with a little help from her friends.
We'll have to remind him where the power is.
She's out to stop crime. Cold. And teach the killers a lesson they'll never forget. She's one girl who fights as good as she looks. Cynthia Rothrock is China O'Brien.
You're brilliant.
Oh, damn.
You're going to get fucking, you know, I am going to love that.
I am going to go into this fairly open-minded. You know, you can't deny, or I can't deny, the athleticism that Cynthia Rothrock shows, you know, and the gymnastics. You know, she's obviously done quite a lot of the ones who do, like, the high kicks and everything have done a lot of taekwondo, haven't they?
Yeah.
So I think it'll be interesting now to go back and watch this one, because I remember at the time, you know, I was more into the kind of Hong Kong kung fu movies, so, you know, something a bit different, something like China O'Brien was just a bit jarring at the time, but I've never gone back and watched it and tried to actually analyze it, so I'm leaving the door slightly ajar that maybe I'm not going to hate it.
Just before we go, can I just give you a bit of a revelation?
Go on.
I've never watched it, but I know you hate it. So, so I might be stitching myself up here, Dave, but just knowing that you hate it so much. It's
you're on a roll for that as well, aren't you? What was it?
A hat trick if I do myself up. American Ninja. I've done myself a hat trick if I stitch myself up with this. But no, I've not seen it. properly. I've seen bits of it. I remember the lads at school used to go on about it, go China. And I was very like, no, I'm Van Damme. No. Not because, I mean, I've got five sisters, not because it's like a woman lead. I was just like, no, I'm not interested. And I remember for No Shit, No Surrender 2, but yeah, I cannot wait. I just know as soon as you watch it and you start messaging me, you are going to be giving me some proper abuse. That's what it's all about.
Oh, dear. Well, that's something to look forward to. All right, mate. Well, thanks for today, and I'll speak to you next time.
Take care, everyone. Bye.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over. What the fuck are we going to do now?
What are we going to do? Maybe we could build a fire, sing a couple of songs, huh? Why don't we try that?
We better get back, because it'll be dark soon, and they mostly come at night. Mostly.
I'll be back.
That's a lie.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Wax on, wax off.
One ring the bell.
All right. Ding, ding.
Bust you up.
Go for it.
Well, here we go.
Ain't so bad. Ain't so bad. Ain't so bad. Ain't so bad. Ain't enough. Come on.
You must be crazy or something.
I'm crazy.
You're just a stupid fool.
Yeah, maybe you're stupid.
You're crazy.
I ain't breathing heavy.
He's a fool. He's stupid.
I've seen you in 6 months.